Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to the Faith Podcast. I'm Shabir Hassan, and in this mini podcast series, we are going to be discussing Quranic du'as and exploring one du'a from the Quran per episode. We hope you enjoy, inshallah, and benefit from this. Don't forget to check us out on social media at Faith Space UK. Check out our website, faithspace.co.uk, and remember to come as you are to faith. As it is. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to the Faith Podcast, where we are discussing Quranic supplications. In the last episode, we discussed the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam and the nature and the way that he made dua, and how he, you know, took to solitude and how he was so inspired by the worshipping and the du'as of this amazing individual, this amazing woman, Maryam alayhi salam. He makes dua for a child, which for many of us, and even for him perhaps, it seemed impossible, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it possible for him and blessed him with a child, Yahya alayhi salam, another great prophet of Allah azza wa jal. Now, you know, hopefully we've taken away some really good practical tips from the incident and the account of Zakariya alayhi salam, whereby we can hopefully now start to slowly bring these things into our daily lives and enhance the way that we make dua, because ultimately it is, as we've said many times already, that it's a conversation between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore it's very important that this conversation, we make it, and this dua, we make it as effective as possible, right? Because all of us, we want our duas to be answered. And all of us, we want our sins to be forgiven. And that's exactly, again, what we're going to be discussing in today's episode, which is to do with forgiveness. It's to do with sins, and particularly it's to do with minor and major sins. We're going to head now to verse 147 from Surah Ali Imran once again. And this dua, I'm going to give you part of the dua that we're mainly going to focus on. And towards the end, I'll give you the full dua. So the dua that we're focusing on today is رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا. Okay, so what's the first part? رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. That our Lord forgive our sins. Okay, ذُنُوب in the Arabic language is the plural of the word ذَنْب. So ذَنْب is one sin and ذُنُوب is many sins. So Allah forgive our sins, and this is plural, it's not just one sin, because we commit many, many sins. And then wa israfana fi amrina, and you could say our excessiveness, our transgression, our recklessness in our matters, in our affairs, right? So you have two things mentioned here. You have sins, and then you also have the word israf that is mentioned. Now, we'll discuss what the word israf means, but firstly, generally speaking, in terms of this dua, the scholars of tafsir, they say that what is the difference in this dua? You're pretty much asking Allah to forgive you for two separate things, right? So on one hand, your dhunub, your sins, and on the other hand, your israf. Now, many of them, they mention how the first part is actually asking Allah to forgive you for your minor sins, okay? And minor sins, we accumulate so many on a daily basis, right? So, oh Allah, forgive us for all these minor sins. And then when we exceed, when we transgress, when we go beyond, meaning they say this is in reference to the major sins. Okay, so what are we asking Allah for in this beautiful, concise dua? That, oh Allah, forgive our minor and our major sins. Now we are going to go into the detail regarding minor and major sins very shortly. So firstly, let's focus on the word israf in the second part of the dua. Now the word israf, literally, it actually means to be excessive in something, okay? To do something a lot, or to even, like nowadays, we can use the word israf to mean to waste, because again, it comes from excessiveness. So if you did, for example, israf of your wealth, of your money, that means you're wasting money, you're buying things that you don't need, you're buying things that you just desire, you're throwing money around. We'd say this is israf. When it comes to food, right, consumption of food, we would say that if you're doing israf of your food and what you're consuming, then that means you're wasting food, you're throwing food away, you're cooking too much, you're ordering too much when you go to the restaurant, when you go to the takeaway, you're ordering too much food, you don't need that much, okay? You only need to give yourself a certain amount of food for you to fill your stomach with, but you're getting more and more and more, and then you're wasting it, right? And you could even say that you could do israf with your time. Okay, Allah has given you free time, and what you do, you waste your time. You end up binging on some television show, or you end up, you know, playing computer games, or you end up spending the entire evening and night with your friends. So this is what we would call israf. It's going beyond. Okay, so israf isn't, you know, it's completely going away from moderation and balance, and it's going to the other side, to the other extreme, in other words, right? This is what we call israf, to be very excessive, to go beyond, to transgress the limits. Now, here, in terms of sins, of course, it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set you a limit and you're going beyond that now. Okay, Allah has set some boundaries and you're exceeding those boundaries. This is what it means in this particular context with the word israf. And what's very interesting, if you look at another part of the Quran, Surah Az-Zumar, there's a famous verse, verse number 53. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he calls out to his servants, Ya ibadi, O my servants, alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. Right? So the word israf is used here, that O my servants who have transgressed against themselves, who have gone way beyond their limits, in other words, right? So what does Allah say? He calls out to his servants, and look at the, you know, look at the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing us, right? Even though this verse is about committing sins and going way beyond the limits set by Allah, right, and we've far surpassed and exceeded that, Allah is still addressing us with, oh my servants, this is amazing, right? And some of the scholars mention how this verse is one of the most inspirational verses in the Quran for those who have committed sins, and it's one of the most, it's one of the most powerful verses in terms of being filled with hope, right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is filling you with hope through this verse. What does he say? He says, "O my servants who have transgressed and gone way beyond, okay, alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim." The main message is la taqnatu min rahmatillah, that do not despair in the mercy of Allah. Don't lose hope, in other words, in the mercy of Allah. Don't think that Allah's mercy is restricted to only, you know, those people that are praying and those people who are giving in charity and those people who are constantly spending time in the masjid and so on. Yes, of course, they are going to get their rewards and they are going to benefit, no doubt, and they are going to be higher in rank than you know, a lot of us. But Allah is saying, don't think it's just restricted. Don't restrict my mercy and don't lose hope in my mercy. Why? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا, that there is no doubt that Allah forgives all sins. جَمِيعًا in Arabic means all sins, everything. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ, because there is no doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who forgives, He is the all-merciful. Now, look at this verse. How powerful is this? Many a time we ask the question, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really forgive all sins? Will He forgive every sin out there? Right, some sins are just really, you know, crazy. Some sins are just like, you know, extremely, you know, they're just so like, even just to think about it, right? You know, things like murder, things like, you know, going to places they shouldn't be going to, things like engaging in, you know, adultery. Like these are things that are like no-go areas. And you're right, they are no-go areas. And these are things that are very much despised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are from the, you know, destructive sins, right, which we can put into that category of, there's no doubt. But if it so has happened that a person has done this, then the question is, does Allah forgive all sins? Now, in fact, there's under this verse which I just quoted from Surah Az-Zumar, there's an incident which is mentioned, a hadith in which, you know, a group of people from, you know, the Meccans, from the idolaters, from the polytheists, they came to the Prophet ﷺ, and, you know, they were interested in Islam. They were interested in Islam. However, they had heard of all these verses about warnings, and, you know, these are people who had committed shirk. You know, they had associated partners with Allah. These are people who had committed murder. These are people who, you know, engaged in the worst of sins and acts, right? So they said, look, we're interested, but we've heard, you know, all of these verses in which, you know, Allah is, you know, warning against committing such sins. So really, is there any hope for us? And it said that this is one of the verses that was revealed in Surah Az-Zumar, which is, O my servants who have, you know, transgressed and exceeded, right, the limits set by Allah, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. this verse was revealed again. And who is this in relation to? It's in relation to people who had committed the worst of crimes, the worst of sins, right? Another verse that some scholars mention that gave an individual, a famous companion, later, you know, he became known as Wahshi radiallahu an, right? That this verse filled him with so much hope. And if you know the story of Wahshi, without going into it too much, it's detailed in the seerah, how Wahshi, he's an Abyssinian slave, and he was a slave of some of the, you know, the polytheists, you know, belonging to, for example, Hind bint Utbah bin Rabi'ah. Okay, so he was actually given a task that if you want to, you know, in other words, win your freedom, okay, and if you want to get out of this, then what you have to do is you need to, and this is in the Battle of Uhud, and this is in the Medinan era, that if you want to win your freedom, then you have to kill and assassinate a particular individual in the battlefield, and that is the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, the beloved uncle Hamza radiallahu an. Right, Hamza radiallahu an, he's someone who accepted Islam in the earlier years in Mecca, someone who was very close to the Prophet ﷺ, someone who was with the Prophet ﷺ from that moment all the way through, and they've been through so much together. They migrated together, and you know, he's the family member of the Prophet ﷺ. He's the, you know, he's the paternal uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, very, very close. And what did Wahshi do? He took a spear and he killed Hamza radiallahu an. Now, obviously, the Prophet ﷺ was extremely upset by this. Prophet ﷺ, you know, this was one of the biggest losses that he had incurred. In particular, in this battle, there were other companions, of course, who had been martyred. But you know, losing Hamza radiallahu an, this was a big blow for the Prophet ﷺ. Very, very upset by this. His family member, someone who was very close to, and he knew who the perpetrator of the crime was. He knew that it was Wahshi who was behind this, right? Anyway, fast forward, and guess what? Wahshi accepts Islam, right? And you'd think, whoa, killing someone like Hamza, right? Is this acceptable? Can his sins be forgiven? And Wahshi actually, upon hearing this verse, right, in Surah Az-Zumar, which is, don't despair in the mercy of Allah. Allah forgives all sins. He said, that's enough for me. He accepted Islam, and what an amazing companion he became. So, in other words, why am I mentioning all of these incidents? You know, these are people who had committed some grave, grave sins. And then we have us, right? We have us, and many a time we end up losing hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We end up losing hope that, oh no, I've done this, and you know, I've committed these sins, and you know, I can't break these bad habits, and you know, I don't know what to do, and maybe, you know, we start losing hope in the mercy of Allah. No, we should remember this verse, that Allah forgives all sins if we, you know, sincerely repent and turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is the literal meaning of tawbah. In the Arabic language, tawbah, literally, it means to return. So tawbah doesn't just mean repentance, it means to actually turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, we've gone far away from Him. Allah is always there. Allah does not go away from us. It's us that go away from Allah. We are the ones that distance ourselves from Allah. Allah has already established in the Quran, Inni qareeb, I am always near, I'm always close, I'm ready to hear out your supplications and your calls. We are the ones that go far away from Allah. So we need to return back to Him. We turn back to Him in repentance. So we repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how can we do this, by the way? There's you know, the hadith scholars, they mention, and many of the ulama, they mention how there are certain conditions, of course, for tawbah. And mainly it's for the major sins. If we've committed major sins, what are the major sins and what are the minor sins? The major sins are such sins, acts of disobedience, which have a punishment attached to them, meaning that the punishment for that crime, for that sin, has explicitly been mentioned in the Quran or in a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, right? So for example, there is a specific punishment, and Allah has already given a warning against those who commit adultery. There is warnings against those who lie, warning against those who disobey their parents, warning against those who commit shirk, of course, right? Warning against those who take innocent lives, and so on and so forth. So all of these would be under the category of major sins. Yes, some of them, they are on a lower level, right? They are of a lesser degree than some of the other sins, like, for example, you know, associating partners with Allah, or taking an innocent life, or disobeying your parents. These are some of the, you know, the major, major sins, the destructive sins, no doubt, right? And then you also have the minor sins. The minor sins, they don't really have a punishment attached to them, but they are sins that we're committing, you know, slipping up here and there, making mistakes, which we've already spoken about in previous episodes, you know, slipping up, making mistakes, small things here and there, you know, deficiencies, shortcomings. These are the minor sins, right? So when, especially when it comes to the major sins, a person has to do tawbah. A person has to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely. Right, they have to sincerely repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have to do certain things. So for example, one of the most obvious ones is they need to leave that sin. So, you know, if a person has committed a sin and they've engaged in an unlawful act, then they need to turn away and leave that sin. They can't go back to it, of course, right? Or they can't be engaging in it and then saying, Astaghfirullah, Allah forgive me. No, they have to completely remove themselves from this. And then they need to have a level of regret and remorse. They need to be very, you know, sorry for what they've done. It's like, you know, if someone comes to you, they've wronged you, they've done something wrong, okay, they've maybe, let's just say, scratched your car by mistake, right? And you get offended. You're like, how on earth could you scratch my car? How could you do that? How could you be so careless, right? And if they just come up to you and, you know, they're not scratching your car anymore, they come up to you and they say, you know, yeah, but whatever, you know, like I'm sorry, but, you know, these things happen, whatever, you know, just get over it kind of thing, right? Would you accept that as an apology? You'd say, there's no remorse. I can't see you, you know, feeling sorry for what you've done. And yet you come here with, you know, a smirk on your face and talking to me arrogantly, telling me that it's nothing, right? No, this is my property and you've damaged it. So when we turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, we leave the sin, but we need to feel regret and remorse for what we've done. We must. Right, so we need to feel extremely sorry for what we've done, and on top of that, we need to have a firm, resolute intention that we are never going to return back to that sin again. This is what constitutes tawbah, right? Whereby we have this in Arabic is called azm, right? Resolute, determined, firm intention. We're never going to do it again, right? So if we hurt someone, we make sure that, oh Allah, you know, I'm sorry I've done this, and you know, you tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, how sorry you are, and then you make a firm intention, I'm never going to do this again, right? Now, with sins, remember, you can't make dua, and you can't, you know, repent to Allah, and then at the back of your mind think, yeah, but, you know, I'm just going to do it again, you know, shortly. No, you can't have that. Like, you have to make a firm intention. Then if, right, the next question is, what if I do fall back into that same sin again? Then it's the same process. You do tawbah. Why? Because Allah accepts the tawbah of His servants. And the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah accepts the tawbah, the repentance of His servants, مَا لَمْ يُغَرْغِرْ. Right? In other words, they have the window of opportunity and the doors of tawbah and repentance are open up until the point where a person's, you know, soul is being taken. Right? Meaning that's the last, you know, that's the final straw. That is the last breath that they are taking in this life. That's it. But up until then, we are living, you're breathing, alhamdulillah, you have the opportunity to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a fourth condition, by the way, I might as well mention that if the sin or if the act of disobedience, if what you've done, if it involves a fellow human being, right, so let's say it's, you know, not only have you disobeyed Allah, but you've also hurt someone in the process. So let's say, you know, you borrowed some money off someone and you're not paying them back, and then you end up, you know, or you end up damaging someone's property, or, you know, something like this, right? Now, it's not enough to just do tawbah and the conditions which I've mentioned. Now you have to also see forgiveness from that individual. So if you've hurt them or you owe them money, then you need to give that money back and you need to apologize to them sincerely, asking them for forgiveness. And if they forgive you, then inshallah, you know, the conditions of tawbah are fulfilled, and inshallah, Allah will wipe away our sins. So this is just some details to do with tawbah and minor and major sins. But coming back to the dua itself, in verse 147 of Surah Ali Imran, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. O Allah, our Lord, forgive our sins, وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا, and, you know, our transgressions in our matters, in our affairs, right? So, oh Allah, in other words, forgive our minor and major sins. We need to constantly make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. I know we've spoken about it before, but this is a key theme when it comes to making dua, that at the top of our priority list when we make dua is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. This is ultimately what we need, right? And because why? We're making mistakes. You know, we wake up in the morning, by the time we go back to sleep in the evening, in the nighttime, imagine in that window of however many hours we've been awake, how many sins that we committed, minor sins, you know, slipping up, shortcomings, deficiencies, right, mistakes. And then on top of that, major sins, you know, maybe along the way we got into an argument, we got into a fight, we disobeyed our parents. We could have done so much, right? So we need to constantly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. The end of the dua, by the way, is وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا. And oh Allah, make our feet, literally make our feet firm, right? Because again, we may slip up, okay? And it's easy to slip. So Allah, make our feet firm. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. And oh Allah, protect us and help us and aid us against those people who reject the faith, those people who are a disbelieving people. Okay, so this is the full dua from Surah Ali Imran. Our focus was on the first part to do with maghfirah, to do with forgiveness. And this is another dua that we should constantly recite and think about and implement. And we should understand what tawbah really means. And we should understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. And we should not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, if we do mess up, and if we do commit a sin, we need to instantly, immediately turn back to Allah. We don't delay these things. Okay, we don't delay until Ramadan, or we don't delay until we plan to go for Hajj. We don't delay until we get old and we have, you know, white or grey hairs, you know, in our beard, in our hair, and so on. No, we don't wait for these things. We immediately turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because, you know, He is Al-Ghaffar and He is Ar-Rahman. And He is a Tawwab. He is the one who accepts Tawbah. He is the most merciful. He is the all-forgiving. So if we understand this, then we have that hope and expectation in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do what we can and we fulfill those conditions of Tawbah. And then inshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our sins. So this is the dua that was our focus point for today. And inshaAllah, in another episode, we're going to continue with another dua from the Quran to focus on, to break down, and to bring in to our lives. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.